Good evening, everyone. We are so excited to be able to do our Sunday evening services online. Listen, tonight, the 15th of September, and then we have the 22nd of September and the 29th of September coming up. And this is a very special time because we have our very special guest, Brother Keith Hershey, with us.
Wonderful, wonderful. What a joy to be here. This is really, really great. And to be here for three consecutive Sunday nights, I'm very, very excited.
Thank you for coming. And I know that last month you ministered just a beautiful message on our Wednesday evening service. I want to encourage all of you that weren't able to watch that, go to on YouTube or Facebook and just check in with that message. It was life changes. As a matter of fact, I think it's one of the best I've ever heard you do.
Oh, well, thank you. That makes my heart happy. You know, it's something that stirred in my heart earlier in the year, and it's captured me, and it's something I can't get away, so I like to share tidbits of it here and there, because it's the thrill of always putting yourself in a position of understanding or really comprehending the goodness of our Father.
Yes.
And we all need to have renewed enlightenment,
yeah,
so to speak.
That's right.
So it's a beautiful thing for our to help us interpret our daily lives, because life's a little complicated now and then.
I know one of the things that you shared that I practiced this morning as I was preparing to come down here today was I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened.
Absolutely.
Flood our hearts. Yeah. Flood the eyes of our understanding with light.
Yeah. You know what I like about that phrase that Paul shared to the church of Ephesus? It's, to me, it put yourself in a position of humility.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what, I'm not here to figure it out on my own. I'm not here to really be the king of my own worldview, so to speak. In other words, Lord, I want to embrace your light, your worldview, your understanding, because there's a lot of things that are very, very complicated, especially when your life is intermingled. And that's what the body of Christ is. You know, the body of Christ is connected.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of times I think there can be disappointment. So I think a prayer of humility is exactly what you did today, and what I try to do throughout my day is, Lord, help me get it. Help me help the eyes of my understanding of your love for me through the word. Help me to be enlightened.
Oh, wow.
And comprehend.
So good. So good. And past January, you celebrated 40 years of ministry with Mutual Faith Ministries.
Yeah, I know.
And I know you've been in ministry for 45 years plus, but 40 years of Mutual Faith Ministries, and the theme of that was just outstanding. I was there, and I was so touched by all that the Lord has done in and through you and your wonderful wife, Heidi, and your ministry. And the theme was the courage to carry Christ in you. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, and then next Sunday night and the Sunday night after. But before we do, Brother Keith, you know, I know a lot of the people watching know you and know of your ministry. But would you just kind of give us maybe a few minutes on Mutual Faith Ministries, where you began, and all those good things?
Well, thanks. And like I say, you and your beautiful wife and the saints of Heart of the Bay have been such pivotal people in our lives through the years, your friendship, your love, and the love of the saints here. But, you know, it's exciting to take a call of God in your life and to live it out. It's exciting too, but it's also a little scary, you know.
Yeah,
it's
challenging.
Yeah. It's overwhelming, and trying to figure out how to implement really the way you interpret the call of God in your life. So these things, you know, were things I wrestled with when the Lord gave me the assignment out of Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. I long to see you that I might impart to you spiritual things. It's really a form of the word charisma, the grace of God, the, you know, the unmerited favor of the Father, what we find in Christ Jesus through his work. And it says if you impart that to people, they're going to be encouraged.
Yes.
They're going to be strengthened. And they're going to be established, encouraged, strengthened, and established through the mutual faith, both of you meet. So that phrase kind of leaped in my spirit in 1981. And during that time, I was working with another African mission organization, which I had started in September of 1979, full-time ministry. And I was a youngster. You know, I was just graduated from college.
About 15 years old.
I felt like I was about seven. But I was 21 when I started with them. I turned 22 soon after. But it was interesting. I had this now new assignment called Mutual Faith. And I would have write my vision. I had all these things about what we were going to implement in the world. And I just kind of carried it in my heart, you know. And certain things you just kind of carry. You let it burn deep in your spirit. You let it develop fully. Yes. And then you find friends in faith that can help you pull out of you what you got in you. And that's where I think mutual faith is important, to find friends who see the gift, who see the assignment, who see the calling in your life. And you and Brenda have been that part of you know, in our early years of ministry as well. So
I can remember, Keith, you know, meeting you for the very first time. At the time, Brenda and I were the regional directions of RMEI, which is Rhema.
Yes.
And we had a gathering, I believe it was in Newport Beach.
I remember.
And that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I know Bayless Conley was there, a good friend of yours and mine as well. And you were there. And I just knew in my heart, there's just something about this guy that I've got to get to know him. I've got to be connected. Mm. And by the grace of God, we've been connected now for years and years, decades and decades.
It's amazing.
And we look back with great joy and just we thank God for what he has done and what he's still doing through Mutual Faith Ministries.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And I think the key for our worlds together collectively is we haven't lost the joy of seeing people.
Yeah.
And imparting to people the beauty of the Lamb of God, the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I think if we lose that passion, that desire for people, which ministry is all about imparting to people, then I think, you know, you can get a little edgy in your life or edgy in your worldview. You can get a little hardened or disoriented, so to speak. And so I love to hang around you because we can laugh. Yeah. We can cry, so to speak. We can talk about the beauty the journey of the call of God. And this is the beauty of the saints, you know, where they take this call in their own lives and live out the beauty of what God has for them, for their world, and for those in their environment. It's a powerful thing.
Yeah, we can rejoice together. We laugh together. Yeah. We can eat together. we've been doing pretty good at that for a few years.
We've had some meals that are memorable through the years, haven't we?
Well, I mean, just what the Lord has done. I mean, there's mission centers here, mission centers there. Just give us a little bit of a summary of all the nations that have been impacted.
Well, in the early days, our first campus was in Liberia, West Africa. And so we built this campus. We started in 1984. Maybe that fall, we kind of had the vision to establish a team there. In 1985, we really had our first. I was so excited. I had a campus that, you know, we were renting, and it was a beautiful space. We had a lot of what we called Go Evangelist at the time, a lot of evangelism, leadership training. And then I started broadcasting what I called missionary television in English-speaking countries. And so we're so excited because we were on television in that nation. This is before satellite, before cable, before there was options.
Wow.
There was only one TV station. And I loved it because I had no competition. And I was on every Saturday night at 9 p.m. And so the whole nation watches you. So I had a lot of a notoriety instantly in the nation and favor with the government. All of it collapsed a couple years later with the Liberian Civil War.
Yeah.
And so I understand the joys of reaching people, and I understand really the pain of calamity and war and chaos. And we lost everything. Our team was scattered. They fled for their lives. And such amazing stories of God's preservation and protection. But it grew the ministry in a strange way. Our leaders went to different nations, and then we started campuses in Ghana, in Nigeria, in other neighboring nations where our team fled. And so, you know, I've learned how to be trusting the Lord in things I don't understand and things you can't fix. And I found out that ministry through all these 40 years is really being immersed in really difficult places and difficult spaces.
Yes.
With problems you can't humanly fix and solve. Mm-hmm. And you're just in the midst of a mess.
Right.
With a message. And the message is the like love that. Of God in Christ. And you realize you can't fix everyone and everything.
That's right.
And there have been times in my life I realized I couldn't even fix myself. You know what I mean? That I just have to trust myself to the grace of God.
Well, we're all under construction.
Yeah,
right?
We all are.
Yeah, think of that verse, Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in us, he will complete it until he returns.
Isn't that comforting?
It is.
And so we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to. We don't have to put on our, you know, our own capacity to do it. We can live in that trusting.
Yeah.
That this was his idea. It's the idea. He's going to complete it. And I like the idea that, you know, God has made us accepted in the Beloved.
He
did it all.
I mean,
we don't have to worry about it and try to qualify in some capacity. He did all the work.
Yes.
And he's going to complete the work.
Amen.
And these things to me are comforting. Mm-hmm. When you're in environments around the world, and even the environments we have in our own in our own culture, in our own nation, that are challenging and overwhelming, he's doing the work, and
Wonderful.
We can rest there.
Yeah, rest. I was just thinking about that as you mentioned that we can have a rest in a restless world.
Mm,
we
that's
can be
good.
Stable in an unstable world.
Excellent.
But it all has to do with us completely leaning on him.
Mm.
He's our source.
He is.
He's our source of peace. He's our source of joy.
Mm.
And I know that you've taken some big projects that the Lord has really inspired you to do. A better word would say, we're led by the Spirit to do.
Right.
And when God leads you with his vision, of course, there's always that provision that we can count on.
Absolutely.
You know, I think about Lebanon, my goodness. I know all of you are familiar with what happened in 2001 when the towers came down. And the Spirit of the Lord gave you a word about that. I mean, just a couple of weeks after 9/11, 2001. Talk about that just for a moment.
Well, all of our campuses were developed in different seasons and for different reasons, really. I mean, the gospel, of course, is the purpose of it. But the manifestations of what happens in different nations are based on the gifting of the national leadership we have. So all of the mutual faith teams aren't run by me personally.
Right.
I'm the vision carrier for all of them. But the manifestation is based on the gifting of people that join their faith with me.
So, that's so good.
They're all indigenous run, and the leadership is local, and I'm just there to join my faith and pay the bills to get the campuses going and things of that nature. But in 2001, you know, we were all kind of astonished. I remember on that day, it was a Tuesday, 2001, I was in Chicago.
Yes.
And I was in a hotel room. I was there for a conference at Pastor Bill Winston's.
Yep.
And, of course, the skies were shut down. Nobody could fly. And we were all there that night for his conference, and his auditorium was full. His overflow auditoriums
Goodness.
Were jam-packed.
Right during his conference.
During his conference. And, of course, his guest preacher that night, I think, was Jesse Duplantis. He couldn't fly in. He couldn't get there. So they were worshiping, and I remember I was sitting on the front row over here, and Pastor Winston was down here in the end. And he walked down after about an hour into the service.
Yeah.
And he leans over to me and says, you know, our speaker was supposed to be Jesse Duplantis. He can't be here tonight. But he said, I believe that maybe you should speak.
How about that?
And he said, would you speak? And I was like, I said, okay. And then he walked back and I began to shake.
Wow.
Because
you didn't go dumb. You shook.
I shook. I shook, and I thought, what in the world am I doing? What am I going to say?
Sure.
And so I spoke, and it was a somber thing. And I remember speaking something on about being knit together in the process of pain or something. The importance of community or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, I stumbled through it. But it was right after that then that I just meditated. And a couple of weeks after that event, I was preaching in for Brother Sam Carr in Louisiana. And I was sitting again on the front pew or whatever they had back then. And I got this assignment out of Isaiah 30.
Isaiah 30.
Verse 25. It says, there will be on every high mountain and every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of a great slaughter.
Wow.
When the towers fall.
When the towers fall.
And so that quick,
goodness,
I had an assignment. Keith, I want you to have a water delivery system. Water's going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
Water being the life of Jesus, the yeah. life of the Spirit. I want you to have a water delivery system in regions of rage.
Wow.
And that quick, I said yes to something that I didn't have a clue about what to do. But then God gave me the process. He gave me the word. He gave me the methodology of ministry, of what to share. I was going to raise up, you know, water boys to people like an Ananias who can convey the good news to people who are religious but full of rage.
Right.
And bring information that would become revelation, mm-hmm. that would bring preservation. So
wow.
that was the concept and the idea. And God gave me a biblical pattern of what to say, what to preach. And so I called it Operation Life Cell. To have people like an Ananias, you know, go alongside in the Middle East. So I went right to the Middle East. I flew there, went to four nations at the time, and shared my little vision. There was one person in all the Middle East that was excited about it, and it was Saeed, who you
yeah.
met. And so this was 2002, early 2002 I was there. And I decided to open an office and a team. And God just blessed it and blessed it and blessed it abundantly. Mm. And so we'd get a lot of our books and materials in Arabic. And we would do our Operation Life Cell trainings. And, I mean, it was astonishing what the Lord was doing. And then this facility became available,
yeah.
you know, seven,
wow.
8 years later. And I bought it for $1 million. And then rebuilt it out. We spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands on it to make it work. But today, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
The hundreds and hundreds of Muslims who have given their lives to
goodness.
Christ. There.
Wow.
But it's all indigenous. It's not anything that I've done. It's people I've joined my faith with and let their gifting have an expression. And sometimes I think in our lives, our giftings have an expression based on the community that we're connected
That's
to.
That's so good.
That we're, you know, like yeah. meeting you, like you said, in Newport Beach or something, and the pastors, the churches, the leaders that were kind to me,
mm-hmm.
made the gift that, or what I carried kind of manifest or
yeah,
work.
Sure.
And so all of us need one another, and we never can minimize the beauty of what God does through the body, through the corporate community.
Wow.
It's very powerful. And that's why I think being planted in church
yeah.
Is very, very significant in hanging out among the saints and having coffee or shaking hands or, you know, you'd never minimize these things because God is speaking, God is saying, God is forming His purposes in your lives.
Yes, so good.
And when you attend church physically, you know, or even, I know this is being streamed and things, but these things are important because God says and clarifies things suddenly, you know.
Yeah.
And
for
the moments of our day, of the challenges that we're in even right now. And this
wow.
is what's so important.
Well, Brendan and I were in Beirut years ago, and mm-hmm. what a beautiful building.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know, I don't know how many thousands of square feet it is.
Well, I think the whole thing, because there's different levels.
Different levels,
yeah. I think the whole thing must be 30,000,
wow.
thereabouts.
Wow.
I don't even know exactly.
Yeah. Look what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
Well, Keith, you have had, you and Heidi,
mm-hmm.
and your minister, you've had the courage to carry Christ in you. And that's what we're going to talk about yeah. for the next few minutes, and we'll be talking about it a lot more next week. But I also wanted to make all of you aware that if you're going to be at church on Sunday morning, and that will be September 22nd, we are going to do a freebie. We're going to give you a free book called The Courage to Carry. And I was reading this morning, and man, I was just getting so blessed.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sitting on my couch, I'm drinking coffee, and I'm taking notes, and I'm thinking, wow.
Mm.
Thank God for the courage to carry Christ in us.
Mm.
And so let's talk about that a little bit. Let us know a little bit about this book and how the origin of this came.
Mm. Well, you know, a few days ago, this pastor in Southern California came up to me, and it's a guy I've known, but I don't know him well.
Yeah.
And he hasn't heard me teach a lot or anything. He's heard me once or twice, but he came up to me and he got this book. And he was talking about how blessed he was. The reason I like books like this, it's a book people can finish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Half hour, 35,
yep.
40 minutes?
It's something you can give your heart to and go over it again and again. And I'm the kind of guy, I need to rehearse things again and again.
Right.
Sometimes when I hear too much, I don't I don't process it well enough to retain it.
That's a good word.
And so my life is so simple, and I'm such a simple presenter, really, of the things of the Lord. But I always tell people the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ, Paul says, you don't mess it up. Don't mess up the simplicity that's found in Jesus Christ. And I think the simple things can be the most profound things. So like this, the courage to carry Christ in you is really the invitation that your human heart has.
I love it.
You have an invitation from God Almighty to be a carrier of Christ.
Yes.
You know, that Christ is in you, that you are in Him. It's kind of the mystery that is so astonishingly beautiful, that He is in us, we are in Him. There's a unison, a union that the whole kingdom of God manifests through in your world. But in our world today, there's anti-Christ, as there has been throughout the...
Sure.
Anti just means against, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, there's anti-Christ, or people who are against Christ, or against the concept of the kingdom of God, God's dear Son. And you get a lot of ridicule.
Yeah.
You get a lot of resistance in our world today if you are a person of faith, if you're a follower of Jesus. So I talk about the courage to carry Christ in you. And I go through some biblical stories where the invitation is presented. And you got to really count the cost. Because if you're going to believe this and live it publicly, it takes courage. But courage, I always tell people, requires an encounter.
Yeah.
So it's something you can't talk yourself into this.
No.
You have to have a confrontation with the revelation of Jesus. So you have to hear the preaching.
Yeah.
You have to hear the teaching. You have to hear the gospel. And
part of it is knowing who you are in Christ.
Exactly.
And, you know, like years ago, books about new creation reality.
Yep.
The fact that we are in Him and He is in us. And I think of that one scripture. I think it's in Colossians somewhere, either 1:26 or 1:27, talks about Christ in us. It is the hope. It is the expectation of glory. So there's no way that we can have the courage to carry Christ unless we know who we are in Him.
Absolutely.
And this book really shows us some really good truths. Now, I know one thing for sure, that you had talked about Mary.
Yes.
How that she had courage to carry Christ in her.
Yeah, you know, you think about that story in Luke 1, you know, she was given an invitation. And I think all these things are never forced. They're not demanded. You're invited to cooperate really with the love of God and experience His love personally and carry it in your world, in your environment, so to speak. But Mary, you know, she was interrupted. I think the best assignments that we have aren't things that we plan and connive and try to organize
and
manipulate.
Work up,
it's something
work
the Spirit
out.
Of God just shows up in our midst. And that happens many times, I'm sure, when you're in a church service here at Heart of the Bay or having certain dynamic. I find these moments the most precious in the sense that it's an invitation. That's what Mary, she was surprised in the routine of a day with a visitation of an angel who had a message from God.
Wow.
So the key is the message from God. You want a heavenly voice. You want the heavenly weightiness of something for your earthly life. You don't want anything man-made. You want something that God is the sufficiency of in the strength of. So think about this. She was interrupted by an angel with an invitation to be a carrier of Christ, and she didn't understand it. She didn't get it.
She didn't.
And most times we don't get it.
Yeah.
You know.
And notice over here, I know you've got the scriptures there, Luke 1:26 over there. Let's go ahead and read that.
Okay.
Verse 26 through, is it 33?
Yeah.
And we'll go for 34.
Okay. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. So that's the key, sent by God.
Yeah.
This is a heavenly, and the voices you want to hear, You need to make sure you're interpreting heaven's word to you, not just any word, not just any preaching.
Oh, that's good.
You want a God word. You want it sent from God. So, Angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one.
Wow.
The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I tell people, if we pause here for a moment, that the beauty of living out this invitation, the courage to carry Christ in you, you'll never do it in your own capacity.
No.
Because you'll live disappointed, you'll screw up. This is a heavenly calling that your equipping is from heaven too.
Yes.
So to be heavenly equipped, Gabriel, who had the message from heaven, told Mary, "I'm going to give you an invitation, but for you to accept this opportunity, you first have to know some things that God thinks about you."
Wow. Yeah.
And until you really have settled in your own heart the reality of God's view of you, mm-hmm. based on unconditional love. It's radical. It's just nothing but pure grace. And it was, "You're highly favored." Until mm-hmm. you can believe that, you'll never have the courage to carry. You're highly favored.
Highly favored.
Not just a little dabble, do you? You are loaded up. You're highly favored. Unmerited.
Wow.
Now, this is all unmerited stuff. Mm-hmm. This isn't stuff I tell people, you don't have no skin in the game.
Yeah.
This is all unmerited stuff.
Yeah.
This is God-given just because He loves you. You're highly favored. You have to believe it. You have to believe the Lord's with you.
The Lord is with me.
You know, I even in recent days, have to tell myself, the Lord's with me.
Yes. Whew. He's with you.
The Lord's with me.
Yeah.
Every day for everything, the Lord's with me. You're highly favored. The Lord is with you. And He says, you're blessed.
Yes.
You're blessed. You're blessed among all people.
Wow.
You're blessed. And you're that set apart. It's if you can believe that stuff, that you're highly favored, the Lord's with you, and that you're blessed, really those three things.
Think about the favor of God.
Yeah.
It's so important that each and every one of us, you watching, you listening, is so important that you receive the favor of God and know that it's available to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of Romans 5, I think it's verse 17, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more they which receive abundance of grace." Well, that's another way of saying much more those who receive abundance of favor and of the gift of righteousness. We will begin to reign in life through the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's so, so powerful.
Thank God we've got favor.
Yeah.
Favor with God and man. That's something we can say on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
We have the favor of God.
Yeah.
The scripture says in Psalms 5:12 that the favor of God surrounds us as with a shield. So there's protection in the favor of God. There's direction in the favor of God. There's revelation in the favor of God. Mary got revelation that she was highly favored.
Mm.
Glory to God.
I really believe, like you say, and you brought up such a great point in terms of receiving and then that it surrounds you. It's a complete thing. God just doesn't give you. He gives you it all. You know,
wow.
He gives you everything you need. It's complete. It surrounds you. But until a person can receive, I think receiving is attached to believing.
Yeah.
You believe and you receive, you know. But until you can receive that, it's hard to carry something.
That's right.
It's hard to have the courage to carry unless you believe the revelation.
Yeah.
And what I like about this is Gabriel didn't have a 6-part series to get her informed about this.
Right.
He just went straight to the point.
Yeah.
You have favor with God.
Wow.
The Lord, you know, this kind of interruption, I think, is like when I'm with worldly people, like people that we have a mission center bill, we have different people that rent from us, and a lot of them are, you know, they all know I'm a pastor, and most of them are respectful and stuff. But,
sure.
But, I surprise them. I'll go to the secular people and say, you know what? The good news for you is you have favor with God, and they're like taken back, like,
wow,
like you're a goon. You're not, you know.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of surprise we need. We need to shake the mindsets of people from their own self-sufficiency. Hey, listen, you have favor with God.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you.
Yeah.
And you're blessed right now. You're blessed in your business. You're blessed in your... Now, they're taken back because they don't get it. And they may think you're weird, which is okay. But what you're doing is you're planting an environment where they can shift in their thinking mm-hmm. and now believe it
wow.
and receive, like you're
receive.
Talking about. So they can reign.
Well, a lot of people don't receive because they live under a cloud of condemnation.
That's so true.
And I heard a minister speak on this many, many years ago, that condemnation is the confidence killer.
Sure
and so
is.
We'll never be able to have the courage, or we could say it this way, the confidence to carry Christ in us until we get rid of all that sense of condemnation mm. and that sense of, you know, being no good
yep.
and not worthy and all
yep.
those things. You know, I grew up in a certain denomination, and we were very sin conscious.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I had to overcome when I came into Christ was a sense of righteousness consciousness.
Yes.
That I'm complete in Him.
Yes.
That I have favor with Him. That I have right standing with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would build my confidence up mm-hmm. and give me the courage to carry. It's like Mary said, be it unto me.
Ooh.
Be it unto me
yeah.
according to His word.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
No, I think that's so powerful and so true. And I think, you know, I relate with your story, because in my story it's very similar. The condemnation, the sin consciousness.
Right.
I was in a church service recently. I'm not going to name what church
sure.
denomination or anything, but a friend of mine from high school,
mm-hmm.
You know, years ago. This is 50 years ago when I was in this town, in this school. I went to the church of my friend, and her husband pastors the church, and I enjoyed it. It was wonderful. I was there with for the weekend, and I was talking with somebody who was with me. I said, you know, it's so beautiful, and thank God for the gospel. Thank God for communion. Thank God for everything we did. But there was just a few things that could be tweaked
yeah.
to shift your thinking out of sin consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the things were formed in your mindset of sin consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though you partook of communion, did all these things, you still walked out with like, man, I'm a loser of all losers. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that you're 100% right to me. That's the key in positioning
yeah.
yourself to believe and to receive.
That's right.
The
That's
announcement right. of everything God has for you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, Brother Hagin was here, and mm-hmm. I think it was our 10th anniversary, which would have been 1992.
Okay.
And he came, and I believe he did a little minister's conference in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was invited to speak at the Worldwide Full Gospel Businessmen's
okay.
Fellowship International, their big thing in San Francisco.
Mm.
So I think this was July 3rd of 92, and he was asked to speak. So we went over there with him. And one of the things that he ministered, because he was ministering to men,
mm-hmm.
and his message was that Elias was a man,
mm-hmm.
subject to like passions as we are, yet he prayed,
mm-hmm.
and God did supernatural things.
Wow.
And so his message was, God uses men.
Yes.
And God uses people just like you
mm-hmm.
that'll have the tenacity to receive the abundance of grace.
Mm.
There is nothing limited for those who will put their confidence and their trust in Him. Mm. Praise God.
Wow.
We are so excited about this time that we have together. And I think what we should do, Keith, is just pray for the people
Amen.
Watching right now, and then we'll go a little step further. But I would just ask you to go ahead and pray for our audience tonight.
Hallelujah. Father, just my heart's just thrilled, just being with the saints, just gathering. And Father, I pray, I bless everyone
mm-hmm.
who's joined in on this conversation,
yes,
on this time of teaching, on the fellowship, just on the sense of camaraderie and community in the Spirit, so to speak, Father, and around the Word. And Father, I ask that each of our hearts can handle a surprise, that we can be like Mary and not be offended with the interruptions of the Spirit.
That's right.
Not be offended with the interruptions of the Word, and believe the beauty and the strength of it fully, that we have favor with God now.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus for every one of our viewers, that they would sense a calm and a peace and an acceptance, and having a full assurance in the truth of what God says about us individually,
mm-hmm.
that we have favor with God. The Lord is with us
yes.
right now, and we are blessed abundantly. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us and for this time together. Praise in Jesus' name.
We give you the glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, so much for this time that we have had together this evening. What a great blessing.